Scripture reading for this evening is from Mark chapter 16, verse 16. Mark chapter 16, verse 16. I'll be reading from the King James Version. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned.
Good to be with you again tonight, as it is every time we have the opportunity to be together and to worship God and to serve God together. God's plan of salvation is very simple. And the fact of the matter is, that is not by accident. God wants all men to come to repentance. He wants man to be saved. That's why he sacrificed so much for that to become a reality. And so when we think about God's plan, we understand, first of all, that it is easy to understand it. And not only is it easy to understand it, but it is easy to execute, at least so far as becoming a child of God is concerned. I've often said there are more difficulties that are involved in maintaining our Christianity. That, of course, is a lifetime of service and work for the Lord. But so far as becoming a child of God, God has made that very easy both to understand and to execute. And yet man has come along and he has complicated things. In fact, when you think about the scripture reading that was read just a moment ago, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, Jesus said in Mark chapter 16 at verse 16. And that is so easy to understand that even a young child can understand what Jesus meant. And yet again, man has come along and has complicated things. There's all kinds of different theories and plans that are set out that are conjured up in the minds of men that even something like Mark 16, 16 becomes complicated. In fact, you've heard me say before, we used to, when I was on the radio, used to be people would call up and it wasn't just one person. But on a few occasions, different people would say, well, Jesus really didn't mean that in Mark 16, 16. And that is because their theology won't allow them to accept something as simple as he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But again, God has made it just that simple because he wants all men to be saved. In fact, in Romans chapter 4, if you turn your Bibles over there, you find that Paul, he doesn't give us God's plan of salvation, but he does emphasize that God tried to make salvation such that all people would have access to it, whether they were Jews or whether they were Gentiles. Romans chapter 4 and down at about verse 12, it says, and to make him, that is Abraham, the father of the circumcision, who are not merely circumcised, but who also walk in the footsteps of the faith that our father Abraham had before he was circumcised. For the promise to Abraham and to his offspring that he would be heir of the world did not come through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if it was the adherents of the law who are to be heirs, faith is null and the promise is void. For the law brings wrath, but where there is no law, there is no transgression. Now, verse 16 is really what I want. Verse 16 says, this is why it depends on faith. That is this blessedness that he has been talking about. The blessedness has to do with justification, has to do with being right with God. But he says it depends on faith. Why? In order that the promise may rest on grace and be guaranteed to all his offspring, not only to the adherents of the law, but also to the one who shares the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations. And so Paul is saying there that God has set forth a plan whereby everyone can be saved. It doesn't matter if you're an adherent of the law, that is a Jew, or if you're a Gentile. God has made salvation based upon faith so that anyone who has reached the age of accountability can take advantage of it and be saved. And so we're not surprised then, reading a passage like that, that when we actually go to the Word of God and we see God's plan of salvation and the instructions that are involved in that plan, that they're very simple and anyone can understand it. But again, man has complicated it. And when it comes to Mark 16 at verse 16, I think that is a perfect example of how man complicates something so simple as the plan of salvation. Again, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. We have often over the years emphasized that there are basically four views of Mark chapter 16. There's actually five views of Mark chapter 16 at verse 16. And the reason there's so many is just because of what I've been saying. Man complicates things. Man adds his own opinions and his own ideas, even to God's plan of salvation, so that there's all of these different views of such a simple statement. And we want to look just quickly at those views. As I just said, there's five, basically. There's really four, but the fifth one, of course, is basically a position that would be taken not so much by those who are followers of Christ or even claim to be, but those who believe more in universal salvation. As you turn your Bibles over to Mark chapter 16 and at verse 16, let's take a look then at these five views. We'll just take a second with the first one, because once again, it's not one that is really believed by mainstream religionists who claim to follow Jesus Christ. But the record says again, whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. Well, there are those who would read that and their interpretation, not so much as the specific words themselves here in Mark 16, 16, but their belief would demand that you understand this as saying whoever does not believe and is not baptized will be saved. Who would that be? Again, that would be the universalist. That would be the person who thinks that everyone, regardless of how they live, regardless of what they do with Jesus Christ, whether they ever believe in Jesus Christ or are baptized or do anything else, they're going to be saved. Because after all, God is a loving God, and He would never condemn anybody at any time to a place called hell. So everyone is going to be saved. And again, there are some people who take that position, and they really, I said, they're not really followers of Christ, but they claim to be the universalist. But that's not a real popular position. I haven't run in personally to a whole lot of universalists, but I have on a couple of occasions, and they believe everyone's going to be saved. And so that would be one position on that. But then there are more popular positions that you do see from those who, again, who are very zealous and believe that they are Christians without any questions at all. For example, those who believe in infant baptism, they would be all of the Catholics of the world. They would be all of the Lutherans of the world. There would be any denominational church who subscribes to infant baptism. The Nazarene church would be another one that at least in part accepts that sort of thing. Their interpretation would be this. They would read Mark 16 at verse 16 like this. Whoever does not believe and is baptized will be saved. That's clearly not what Jesus said, is it? And yet that is the view of a whole lot of people. Again, the Catholic religion is probably still, I believe, the largest religion on earth, unless the Muslims have overtaken them. I'm not quite sure number-wise. But so far as claiming to be a follower of Christ, clearly Catholicism is the largest religion on earth. And yet when they read this passage, they cannot, their theology won't allow them to believe what Jesus actually said very clearly. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. No, they believe that an infant can be baptized. We understand that an infant cannot believe, and therefore they would have to look at this passage as I just read it a moment ago. He that does not believe and is baptized shall be saved. And in fact, this is one of the reasons when we begin to teach people about baptism, and you begin to have discussions with individuals on the job and friends that you might have, sometimes you have to be careful. If you just emphasize baptism and how that you have to be baptized, there are some people who say, yes, I understand that a person has to be baptized, yet what they're really talking about is being baptized when they're just an infant. And perhaps that is even what they experienced themselves. And you ask, have you been baptized? Well, sure, I've been baptized. But again, they were baptized in an unscriptural way. One of the things that we must understand is that the order of Mark 16 at verse 16 is critical. Belief has to come first. An individual has to believe. And that's why we understand that infant baptism is a man-made doctrine. It is a man-made practice, and you don't read about it anywhere in the Bible. And yet that is how many, many people would view Mark 16 at verse 16. But then you have the other side of that would be the faith-only people. Now, when you stop and think about it, then we have already said that Catholicism looks at this passage wrong. They're the largest religion, at least those who claim to be followers of Christ on earth. Now you throw in the faith only. I don't know what the percentages are, the numbers are, but faith only folks, once again, they occupy, at least so far as the Protestant church is concerned, almost the majority, almost all of the Protestant churches. Not all of them, but almost. So just like that, we see most of the religious world is in error on something that is supposed to be so simple as God's plan of salvation. But when you stop and think about it, the faith-only people, going back to Mark chapter 16 at verse 60, because of their theology, they would have to read this, whoever believes and is not baptized will be saved. That's clearly not what Jesus said. And yet the majority of people in the religious world today, so far again as the Protestants are concerned, would have to take that position. And they do. Why is it that we talk about faith only so often? It's because the majority of people who claim to follow Christ believe that. Most preachers and pastors and denominational churches accept that. All you have to have is mental assent. All you have to have is faith. Baptism is a work, and you don't have to be baptized. We're not saved by works, and so you don't have to be baptized. And they have to read Mark 16 at verse 16 differently than what Jesus said. Or, as the people on the radio would say, well, Jesus really didn't mean that. Their theology makes them say that. Listen to me. We're talking about very intelligent individuals. We're talking about denominational preachers who have many PhDs in this and that. They're educated. They're highly intelligent, very sharp. But their theology won't line up with what Jesus said in Mark 16, 16. And so they have to conclude that baptism is not necessary because their theology says we're saved by the finished work of Christ on the cross and nothing else is needed or necessary. By the way, I've often said with regard to that doctrine, if they were to carry that out to its furthest degree, they would be universalists their own self. Just about, not quite, I suppose, but just about. They would be right close to the universalist. And yet, that's not what Jesus said clearly. Well, then you have the Baptist. Now you just stop and think about it. You think about the Catholics, you throw in the Lutheran church there, and you throw in any other denominational church that believes in infant baptism, and there are others, of course. And then you throw all of the people who believe in faith only, and now you include the Baptists. The Baptists occupy a good amount of space with regard to the religious world. In fact, in Louisville, where we lived and I preached for 11 years, that was a Baptist stronghold. Almost everybody you ran into was a Baptist. And they can't understand, they don't really understand the teaching of Jesus. They can't just take what Jesus says in Mark 16 at verse 16 and teach it. No, what they have to read Mark 16 at verse 16 like this. whoever believes is saved and then is baptized. And remember I said a moment ago, the order of this is important. Salvation is put exactly where Jesus put it. He put it where he wanted it to be. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But the Baptist says, no, you believe and then you're saved right with that mental assent. And sometimes later, we're going to have a point in time during the month where we'll baptize a whole bunch of believers. They call it Christian baptism. Because they're already Christians, but they're baptized. And what is that? We've often said it. It's an outward sign of an inward grace. It's something they do to show that they have already become Christians. And what that really does, the baptism itself, is just put them into the Baptist church, and that's it. But they think that that's the order of things. You believe, you are saved, and later on, you're baptized. By the way, the Baptist church believes strongly that baptism is a command. And so again, you sort of have to be careful when you're talking with people about baptism, because the Baptists would tell you just right now, yes, baptism is necessary. Which I've often pointed out, probably even to you, how strange that really is, that the Baptist, in his mind, he would say that you're a legalist. Because you take the true position of Mark 16 at verse 16. You believe that baptism is necessary, as Acts 2 at verse 38 says. It is for the remission of sins. As Galatians 3 at verse 27 says, it does put you into Christ. You teach that, you're a legalist. But the Baptists, you know, they have to turn around and say, admit that baptism is a command. Only it's a command that keeps you saved. It's not a command that helps you to get saved. It's a command that keeps you saved. But isn't that strange? Like, if you say you have to be baptized to be saved, somehow you have robbed God of his sovereignty. But if you turn around and say, now, can a person be saved without ever being baptized? The Baptist would tell you right now that, no, that person can't be saved. You have to be baptized. It is a command. I give a quote often from Billy Graham. I have it written down. I can't remember it verbatim, but he says something to the effect that no responsible Baptist would ever say that you have to be baptized to be saved, but we must be baptized to keep the commandments of Christ. And that sounds strange on the surface until you know what Baptists teach. They teach that you're just saved by mere mental assent, that you don't have to do anything but believe, but baptism is a commandment, and so it's like the Lord's Supper. Just like you have to partake, we would say at least, you have to partake of the Lord's Supper. In fact, they refer to baptism as an ordinance, just like the Lord's Supper. They put all of that into the category of an ordinance. And so they really can't read what Jesus said in Mark chapter 16 at verse 16 and just take it as it is. They have to change the order. He that believeth is saved. And then is baptized. But those who really want to stand for the truth, and those who want to save individuals, listen, when we begin to change the order of Mark chapter 16 at verse 16, when we preach anything other than what we read about in the Bible, we're producing another gospel. Remember in Galatians chapter 1 what Paul said about that? That gospel won't save anyone. And those who teach such a perverted gospel will be accursed. And those who stand for the truth, even though we might be in the minority, those who stand for the truth and don't care what's popular and what most people are teaching, will simply accept this clear teaching, this understandable teaching. It's not abstruse in any form or fashion. There's nothing difficult about what Jesus says in this particular passage. In fact, as I said earlier, it might be the most simple passage of Scripture in all of the Bible. You stop and think about it. So at least so far as commands are concerned. Who can't understand? Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. Everybody can understand that. We through the years, we used to say on the radio all the time, and we didn't. I don't know what preacher came up with it first, but the illustration has been given for years that if you told a person, he that believeth and is baptized would receive a brand new 2017 Cadillac. How many people do you think would go and be baptized? They'd be lining up at every place that had a baptistry because they really understand what that means. But when it comes down to salvation, their theology won't allow them to accept a simple statement like this. And so they have to have a perverted view of it. God made it simple. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Even tonight, if you happen to not be a Christian here tonight, you want to be saved, you have to believe in Jesus. He is that Christ. He is the Son of the living God. And you have to be baptized. Listen to me. You won't be saved 1 second before you're baptized. People over the years have come up with all kinds of hypothetical situations. I'm not concerned at all with hypotheticals. Fact of the matter is, you want to be saved, you have to believe in Jesus, and you have to be baptized. That's according to the simple, understandable words of Jesus. And God desperately wants individuals to be saved. He wants you, if you're here tonight and you're not a Christian, He wants you to accept His Son. His Son died on Calvary's cross so that you could have the hope of eternal life. And He wants you to believe in Him, and He wants you to be baptized. Again, in Acts 2:38, it's for the forgiveness of sins. God wants you to do that. And truth is, it's not a hard thing to do. There's water right behind me. If you're outside of the ark of safety, you can become a child of God in a matter of moments. After we sing the invitation song, you come forward, and of course there's other passages. Romans chapter 10 at verse 10 talks about confessing. You have to do what the Ethiopian eunuch did in Acts chapter 8. You have to confess that you believe that Jesus is the Son of God. You can do that. That's very easy. That's very easy. Acts 2 at verse 38 talks about repentance. You can't just continue in sin. If you really want to give your life over to Jesus and over to God, you have to repent, have a change of heart. You have to make up in your mind you're going to stop sinning. You can do that. That's an easy thing to determine in your mind that you're going to do. There might be some bumps in the road. There might be some times when you fall short. We all do. We all sin from time to time and fall short of the glory of God. But you can determine in your heart, even tonight, that you're going to serve God, that you're going to make Jesus your own personal Savior and serve and follow Him. And you can be baptized. And you'll become a child of God. It won't be the popular thing to do, but it's the right thing to do. And if you want to get to heaven, it's the only thing. You have to obey the gospel. And that's how you do it. Will you do it tonight? We hope that you will. Come forward as we together stand and sing.